Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is a press conference, a half-hour press conference by the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon. Secretary General.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to see you at the beginning of the new year, and I'd like to extend my warmest regards and happy new year to you all. Thank you very much. And the year ahead needs to be a period of intensified diplomacy, inroads against poverty, and action on climate change. 2014 will be crucial for the Millennium Development Goals as the 2015 deadline approaches fast. We need clear progress on the post-2015 development agenda, a set of sustainable development goals, and the financial means to make it happen. And if we are to adopt a new global agreement on climate change in 2015, we need to arrive in Lima in December of this year with a solid draft for negotiation, as was agreed by member states in Warsaw last year. The climate summit, which I will host on September 23rd this year, aims to advance bold action on the ground and mobilize a political will for an ambitious agreement. As we focus on these long-term foundations for prosperity and peace, the United Nations also faces an overflowing inbox of conflicts and disasters of growing severity, frequency, and complexity. These will require much more from the international community, more political attention, more resources, more support. The situations in Syria, South Sudan, and the Central African Republic have gone from bad to worse. These are avoidable tragedies in which millions of civilians are paying an unconscionable price. I'm especially alarmed by the spread of sectarian animosity and by the dangerous regional and global spillover effects. Years of development are at stake. A generation of young people is at risk. The United Nations is doing its utmost to ease the suffering and to stay and deliver aid wherever we can, even as people flee their homes and countries. UN personnel are all showing tremendous courage and professionalism in volatile conditions. Humanitarian assistance, vital as it is, can be only part of our response. The international community must pull together to help these countries find the path of peace. Together, we must send a strong message that there will be accountability for the killing, raping, chemical weapons attacks, and other atrocious crimes that have been committed. This past Monday, I have issued a formal invitation to the Geneva Conference on Syria, which will be held on January 22nd. That's in just 12 days. I appeal to the warring parties and all those with influence over them to recognize that there is no military solutions to this conflict and work for a political solution that implements the Geneva Communique. More immediately, there must be an end to all violence, including the Syrian government's use of barrel bombs and other heavy weapons that kill and maim so indiscriminately. All parties must improve humanitarian access to people in besieged areas. The situation in eastern Ghouta is shocking. 160,000 people have gone without aid for more than a year. The United Nations is prepared to enter the area assistance, but we need the full cooperation of the Syrian government. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome the beginning of talks in Addis Ababa on the crisis in South Sudan, in a process led by Intergovernmental Authority on Development, IGAD. There must be no further delays in agreeing on a cessation of hostilities. I called President Salva Kiir yesterday again and urged him to demonstrate leadership and political flexibility by immediately releasing political prisoners. South Sudan is at a crossroad. This crisis can be resolved only at the negotiation table. And I urge the two sides to negotiate in earnest. In the Central African Republic, we must strengthen the African-led mission and do more to prevent the spiral of violence from spreading. Earlier today, the President of the Transition and the Prime Minister resigned. I take note of their decision. I urge all political actors in the country to work urgently to restore security and law and order, and to address the root causes of the persisting instability. In each of these crises, humanitarian needs are escalating and funding is falling short. I urge all donors to show their solidarity, including at the Humanitarian Pledging Conference for Syria and the affected neighbors that I will chair next Wednesday, January 15, in Kuwait. Ladies and gentlemen, 2014 is also a year in which the United Nations will support the people of Afghanistan at a time of transition. We will continue to help other countries where transitions have gone astray, fragility is growing, institutions are failing, and democratic governance has faltered. Over the past 3 days, I have been in touch by telephone with Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra of Thailand and the leader of the opposition Democratic Party, Mr. Abhisit Wainwright, in an effort to help them bridge their differences. I'm very concerned that the situation could escalate in the days ahead, particularly next Monday, January 13th, when protesters said they will shut down Bangkok. I urge all involved to show restraint, avoid provocative acts, and settle their differences peacefully through dialogue. In the month ahead, we will look to Israelis and Palestinians to make decisive progress in resolving their conflict and drawing back from a perilous status quo. I'm alarmed by this morning's announcement of well over 1,000 settlement units. Such activity is not only illegal, but also an obstacle to peace. This year marks a milestone in Sierra Leone as the last UN mission prepares to close, a measure of the tremendous distance the country has traveled since the years of conflict. The long engagement of the United Nations in Sierra Leone demonstrates the value of staying the course through the hard process of keeping, consolidating, and building peace. 2014 will see the United Nations strengthen disaster resilience and push for progress towards nuclear weapon-free world. We will deepen our work on the new Rights Upfront initiative, highlighting the integral role of human rights in the organization's global mission. And with the Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, we will finish the job of eliminating serious chemical weapons materials and programs, building on the progress that has been made despite wartime conditions and the complex nature of the task. Last year's chemical weapons attacks in Syria reminded us of the horrors in the fields of Flanders during the First World War. The revulsion at that senseless conflict sparked a deeply felt need among all humankind for an effective instrument of common progress, a need that was met decades later with the birth of the United Nations. In this year, that marks the 100th anniversary of the First World War, we will strive to push the boundaries of democracy and collective action. Despite crises and concerns, 2014 also brings major opportunities to build a safer, more just, and prosperous world. I'm determined to make this a year of progress for people and the planet. And I thank you, and I wish you and your family the continued good health, happiness, and prosperity in this happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary General. This will be a half-hour press conference. We'll try to fit in as many questions as possible. But as a result, please keep yourself to one question and please speak into the microphone. Michelle?
Thank you, Secretary General. On behalf of the UN Correspondents Association, Happy New Year, and thank you for doing this press conference. I wanted to ask you about South Sudan. What warning signs of this crisis were missed, do you think? And the United States is considering targeted sanctions on South Sudan. Do you think this could help end the crisis?
At this time, while the situation is very dire and deteriorating, worsening, with violence continuing, while peace talks are going on in Addis Ababa, and there's a huge humanitarian crisis and also human rights violations. And I have been urging all the parties there to refrain from taking violent actions. United Nations is at this moment is accommodating around 75,000 displaced persons in several United Nations camps. We urge the President Salva Kiir of South Sudan to exercise political flexibility to facilitate this ongoing dialogue, ongoing peace talks. There is no military solution. They have to, first of all, stop violence and let the United Nations and international community deliver necessary humanitarian assistance. I appreciate the African Union and other IGAD, other parties in the region to facilitate this negotiation.
On possible U.S.
sanctions? That is something which, you know, I'm not in a position to make comment on that, because sanction is something which the Security Council will have to take a decision. As you know, because of very serious human rights violations, I'm going to dispatch Assistant Secretary General Ivan Simonovic, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, this weekend. He's going to visit South Sudan to monitor the human rights violations cases. We will strengthen our monitoring capacity in South Sudan. And I have been urging and making it quite clear that those perpetrators of serious human rights violations will be held accountable. So let us see. We will try to collect all the evidences and we'll also make it available to international community. Of course, we will closely consult with the Security Council for a future course of action.
Yeah. Mr. Secretary General, Happy New Year to you too, sir. Thank you so much. Your special coordinator of the joint mission with the OPCW, Sigrid Kaag, has been briefing in closed session the Security Council this week. My question to you, sir, is come 30th of June, and the aim is to remove all the chemical weapons from Syria and to destroy them. Come the 30th of June, and this has been done according to the joint mission, can you put your hand on your heart and say that all chemical weapon has been removed from Syria reminding you that these weapons that's going to be removed are based on a manifesto given by the Syrian government to the OPCW. And I do have a short follow-up. Thank you so much.
I met special coordinator of Joint Mission Sigrid Kaag earlier this week, and she briefed me about the further progress that has been made towards the removal and elimination of a Syrian chemical weapons program. As you know, a first quantity of priority chemical weapons and materials have been shipped out of Latakia port. And this process will continue. Even though there was a bit delayed in our program, I think everything is now moving on schedule. The deadline of June 30 is, of course, very tight, because of the continuing violence in the region. But we will spare no efforts. The joint mission is doing working day and night. So let us see. And our position at this time is to provide the full support. In that regard, I'd like to really thank those countries who have been providing logistical support by providing transportation by ships and naval escort. Yeah.
Sorry, sir. My question was, once 30th of June comes and you certify that Syria is empty of chemical weapons based on the manifesto that the Syrian government is self-gifted to the OPCW, are you prepared then, if an attack happened after the certification, to blame the opposition because you have given a certification to the Syrian government by then?
That the certification and verification of the process, whether this all chemical weapons and materials and facilities have been destroyed, that's up to the joint missions and OPCW will do in the course of after June 30th. That we have to watch at this time.
Ragida? Secretary General, also Happy New Year to you. The Syrian government has a different interpretation of the terms of reference when going to Geneva II. They're talking about the fight in the war on terror, whereas you say clearly that the terms of reference are the implementation of Geneva I. So in the countdown to Geneva II conference, in the countdown also to the tribunal on Lebanon, you would see that there is an escalation not only in Syria, but also in Lebanon next door. It seems that this international community is dismissive of a country that is on the verge of a breakdown as everybody fights it out there. Is it time that you do something about it? Is it time that you bring this attention of Lebanon to the forefront because it is falling apart? And do you disagree that the Syrian government should not go there with the idea of only fighting terrorism, as it claims this war is all about? Thank you.
First of all, for your first part of the question, let me again remind all of you that the key goal of this Geneva conference is to reach an agreement on transitional governing body with the full executive power by mutual consent. That was the exact wording of Geneva communique of June 30th of 2012. There is some different expectation and interpretation, but this is what the parties agreed, the participating countries agreed in 2012. The main goal will be how to implement these joint communique. And that's, I think, a priority of our talks. Nobody thinks that it will be an easy process. It will be extremely difficult. First, I will convene this international conference for one day. Then there will be a one-day pause to move from Montreal to Geneva for Syrian-led negotiations facilitated by Dr. Brahimi, we expect that all the participating countries will come with a strong and determined will to help this process move toward the right direction so that we can see the end of violence as soon as possible. About this recent situation in Lebanon, I am deeply concerned about the escalations of violence witnessed in Lebanon in recent months. I have spoken with Prime Minister Mikati on, you know, recently on the current situation. As you know, I strongly condemned all this violence which happened in Lebanon. I call on all Lebanese parties to act with restraint and for the Lebanese people to come together to support the institution of the state. Still, it is a caretaker government. It is important that the Syrian government and people should establish government. The prime minister is already nominated, but it's almost been a year ago. So the government cannot take any important decision. That may also create certain kind of political vacuums. We sincerely hope that there will be soon establishment of government. I may have an opportunity of meeting either Prime Minister Mikati or President Suleiman this month, and I will discuss this matter with them. In Kuwait or in Geneva or wherever, in Kuwait maybe.
Mr. Secretary General.
Somani Sengupta.
Thank you. On the Syria peace talks, can you say anything about which countries will be attending and what your expectations are of those talks?
The name of the countries have already been announced by the Dr. Brahimi, and we expect that those countries who will be participating will come with a firm position to support and help the parties, Syrian parties, so that they will be able to agree on that. And those whoever may have influence of those parties should exercise their influence so that they will cease violence as soon as possible. And this is my expectations.
Yes, sir.
Your Excellency, Mr. Secretary General, thank you for this briefing. The fight or the combating terrorism looks that the world is not winning so far. To the contrary, it is a growing phenomenon, and it is threatening the world at large, not just certain areas. How do you view this battle in Al-Anbar?
In where?
Al-Anbar in Iraq.
Yeah.
And especially that the fighting is overlapping over in Syria and between Syria and Jordan and Lebanon and other areas in the region. And how do you view the recent reports from the Iraqi government that vehicles sold only to Saudi Arabia have been captured with Al-Qaeda in Al-Anbar, and a recent catch of $150 million were held by one of the Al-Qaeda members who was arrested by the Iraqi government, who confessed that he got the money from the Saudi intelligence. How do you view the role of Saudi Arabia in combating terrorism after over 12 years of 9/11?
First of all, I have been following very closely the current situation in Iraq, including the Anbar governorate. I have strongly condemned all this violence there. The government of Iraq has a responsibility to protect all its citizens from violence and acts of terrorism while exercising restraint in the use of force and protecting human rights. I have been urging Iraqi government leaders, including Prime Minister al-Maliki, that the policies of their government should be inclusive and promote reconciliation among all the different ethnic groups, embrace all the people in the country. I think that is the best way to, first of all, have good governance and to address the grievances of those people who may have, who may not be satisfied with all what's going on. For your second part, I do not have, I'm not aware of any information about that.
Margaret Bashir?
Secretary General, you touched on the Central African Republic and the stepping down of the interim leader, Mr. Djotodia. Do you see this as a positive move for peace and security and reconciliation in that country? How do you view today's development?
The situation in Central African Republic has been really the source of great concern, grave concern of international community. The decision, upon decision by the Security Council and the African Union, the regional group has deployed MISCOM, and the French government has deployed their own troops. Even with all support, the situation has been, you know, deteriorating. First of all, the 6,000 mandated ceiling has not yet been filled, and I urge the African Union to expedite this full deployment of these soldiers. At the same time, there is a serious human rights and humanitarian situations are there. I think almost a half of the million, 2 million people. Their total population is of about 4 million people. Then about 2 million people have been affected. At least 1 million people in Bangui are now displaced. And there are serious human rights violations. We are now again very strengthening our human rights violation situations. The United Nations are fully committed to help Central African Republic emerge from terrible crisis and to build peace. In that regard, this announcement of the resignation of transitional President Djotodia and also Prime Minister Changai, I know that this is a decision of themselves upon the discussions of the regional country in N'Djamena yesterday is going on, and I have taken note as of it. I sincerely hope that there will be a quick restoration of institution. There is no functioning government, unfortunately. There is a limit for international community and United Nations when there is no functioning government, no functioning institutions. Then there should be full and quick restoration of institutions there. And we will continue to provide the humanitarian assistance despite the very difficult and dire situations there.
We're running out of time. I think we have time for one or two more questions. Peter Spielman?
High Commissioner for Human Rights said the other day that they've given up trying to count and verify the number of dead in Syria, which was last fixed at 100,000 in late July. Who's responsible for impeding access to this information? And more broadly, what does it say about the level of violence and chaos in Syria that they can't even count the dead?
It's a very important question. The High Commissioner Navi Pillay has announced last year, I think that statistics was as of end of April last year, which was announced in June, around 100,000 people. We believe that at this time, by this time, well over 100,000 people have been killed, and hundreds of thousands of people have been wounded. And it's now it has become quite difficult for Human Rights Office to follow up all these, you know, statistics of killed and those people killed and injured because of very difficult security situations. We do not have much, you know, access to the source of information, but we will try our best to update this statistics. What is important at this time is that the parties must stop violence. They are killing among themselves. The more than 40% of hospitals. That means 2 out of 5 hospitals have been destroyed, and more than, again, another 20% of hospitals are not properly functioning. And the schools have been destroyed. So most of the infrastructures and institutions have been destroyed. Then they must think about their future, How can they reconstruct their countries? They have, I believe that, I'm afraid that they have lost maybe decades of their development by this time. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, there's still a lot of hands up in the air, but there's only time for one final question. Giovanni, can
yes. You answer? Thank you so much. Happy New Year, Mr. Secretary General. My question about the last month's resolution in GA about the war against violation and extremism, and about this is the Iranian president, Mr. Rouhani, proposed to UN in the 68th GA meeting. I need your comment, and especially about the 14th article of this resolution, ask you about some report for this resolution. Thank you so much.
There was a GA vote, a resolution against violent extremism, so the GA took a stand against it. It was just a vote in the GA, which went in favor of the resolution.
Which
resolution against all forms of violent extremism.
The United Nations position is quite clear that we are against all forms of violence and discriminations, whoever and wherever it may be. In that regard, I'm urging all the, you know, parties and countries to respect the human rights. As I said, we are going to put the priority and focus more on the humanitarian and human rights protections, the rights upfront action plan is based on that. We are going to do much more focusing on protecting human rights. While all these conflicts and violences are taking place, it's after all people who are being affected and who are being killed and whose human rights are not properly protected. In that regard, I cannot emphasize more the importance of human rights.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for your support and cooperation. And I hope that we will try to I hope we work together. We need the support of the media. Whatever we do at the United Nations or at the international community, I think you are the connectors. You are the persons who really help communicate from us and to the people on the ground. So I sincerely hope that you will also be closely engaged, and I will make myself available as often as possible whenever opportunities arises. Thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Thank you.